This is Ragweed, and you are listening to whatever the hell I call this radio episode number 2. Today's date is July 1st, 2005. Today's topic will be intrusion detection systems. Alright, well, some of you may never heard of intrusion detection systems. Well, intrusion detection system is just that. It detects intrusions or possible attacks. Couple different types of intrusion detection systems. You've got your NIDS, network intrusion detection systems. You've got your NNIDS, node network intrusion detection systems, and you've got your HIDS, which are host-based intrusion detection systems, and of course your honeypots. Now, start off with network-based intrusion detection systems. One of the most popular network-based intrusion detection systems, or NIDS as I like to call them, is Snort. If you're not familiar with Snort, you can go to their homepage, www.snort.org. It's www.s as in stupid, n as in notion, o as in optimum, r as in rich, and t as in time.org. Now, the way Snort works is you'll take your network-based intrusion detection system, and you'll set it on your network, and usually you have it so that you've got the external network coming in through one Ethernet port and going out into your internal through the other. Now, what this allows you to passively monitor all the traffic that's going outside and into your network. So once we have this in place, Snort it sits on the line and it monitors all the traffic. And what it does is Snort it has a rules table, and it looks in this table and it analyzes the traffic. So let's say you want to send an ICMP packet, a ping packet. You want to ping, say, a packet from, say, your external network to a host on the internal network. Now, you can set it so that if Snort sees, say, ping packet coming in with a time to live of, say, 100, just for an example, it'll send up an alert. It does this through a matching inside the rules file. You can also have Snort do things such as monitor requests for, say, port 80, web server 22 SSH, telnet, things like that. And also it can also be used to search out strings. So for example, let's say someone's sending you shell code down the line, or someone's trying to look at slash etc slash passwd. Snort will send up an alert. However, there are problems with this. One of those problems being saying, let's go back to the example of trying to look at the file slash etc slash passwd. Well, if let's say I'm Joe Random Hacker and I want to call this up. Well, let's say I know that they're running Snort and I know that this rule set's probably going to be in place. Well, instead, what I could do is I could go, all right, well, instead, let's look up slash etc dot dot slash etc slash passwd. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the familiar with working with Unixes or Linuxes, or even working with command line at all, because I believe Windows has dot dot slash as well. But if you're not familiar with that, dot dot slash basically means the directory above, one directory above. So essentially what we're doing is we're going slash etc, go back a directory up to slash, and then go back into etc, and then grab PSSWD. Now, this has been known to fool a lot of these network-based intrusion detection systems because you've manipulated the string. Another thing a network-based intrusion detection system could do is it could help you to identify port scans. Let's say someone's using Nmap and they're trying to, map out your HTTP server or whatever, your web server. Well, Snort will do, Snort's sitting on the line, and it'll see this traffic coming in, and I'm not going to get into the details of how port scan works, but it'll see all these requests. It'll see it trying to see what ports are open, sending the sins and everything of that nature, and it'll recognize your scans through pattern matching, through rules, as I said earlier, and then it'll alert you. Now, if you're crafty and whatnot, suppose you could wire up something, maybe with asterisks or something of that nature, so that let's say this happens. Well, Snort could go boom, and it could say trigger or something, and you could actually have messages sent via SMS, or maybe even have an actual call placed to, say, your cell phone or home phone or whatever course, you could have it send out emails saying, hey, something's going on here. However, this may be slightly impractical due to false positives. And false positives are just exactly that. It looks like an attack, but it's really not. Which leads me into the next part of network-based intrusion detection system placement. Generally, a network-based intrusion detection system, I'm just going to call them NIDs from now on, a NID is usually placed, it's either placed outside of the firewall or inside of the firewall before the rest of the network. Now, advantages and disadvantages. Well, an advantage to having it outside of the firewall was that you would get to see all the traffic coming through, you could see everything. You could see everything that's directed at your firewall as well. You'd see all the traffic. However, disadvantage of that is you're going to get more false positives because you're going to see all this traffic, and a lot of this traffic might end up getting filtered by the firewall in the end. So a lot of false positives there. And also, you're going to have increased overhead, and you're going to have increased, processing because you've just got a lot more packets to deal with because it's on the outside of the firewall. However, if you place it on the inside of your firewall, you do get to see some pretty cool stuff, like you get to see whether or not your firewall is filtering packets properly. Because let's say you want your firewall to filter any incoming SSH, but you want it to allow outgoing SSH. So you've got all incoming SSH filtered. Well, if you see SSH requests coming, port scan or something, coming directed at another machine that's coming through your firewall, well, you've got a problem because your firewall should be filtering out anything related to SSH. So that's one advantage. Another advantage, like I said, less false positives. Because you're getting a lot of that traffic filtered out, you're getting less false positives. Slight disadvantage, you're not seeing everything. Like I said, and also this, let's say someone wants to try and compromise your firewall. Let's say your firewall is a Linux box, right? Someone wants to compromise your firewall, you're not going to see that because it's placed on the other side of the firewall. It's not on the outside. So that's some of the disadvantages. Now, NIDs are great. Network intrusion detection systems are awesome. However, there are major disadvantages, one of them being encryption. For example, let's say I've got Snort configured, and Snort's looking for, the latest random Trojan that's going around the office or whatever. So I've got Snort sitting there, but let's say someone connects to their email through an encrypted session. Well, which is the smart thing to do. So they're connecting through the encrypted session. Well, now since that session is encrypted, Snort's not going to be able to see Snort's not going to be able to see what's being sent and received. Therefore, those alerts aren't going to go up because this is encrypted, which is a disadvantage. Another disadvantage with NIDs is that their main purpose isn't to prevent attacks. Their main purpose is to alert a system admin when there's an attack going on. And however, they could be configured to say, maybe change some firewall rule sets or things like that to try and prevent the attacks. However, also, these only serve as a method of detecting attacks. They don't detect actual intrusion. And what I mean by that is, let's say someone port scans you and, they're sending down, their latest 0-day, exploit, whatever. If that box gets rooted, the network intrusion detection system doesn't know that it was rooted. All it knows is that there's somebody out there performing an attack on the machine. Now, there's also another form of this, which is network node intrusion detection systems, NNIDS. And these function in a similar way. The only difference is that instead of having one machine seeing all the traffic on the network that's, coming through, it's, placed at a central point where, it's going to see everything, these are done on a host-by-host basis. So, basically, I'll have my NNIDS installed on, say, every single host in a network. Now, these hosts will watch only traffic that's coming, say, towards them. Now, major advantage of this is that there's far less overhead, obviously, because you're only dealing with the packets being sent to that one host as opposed to all the other hosts. Disadvantage, obviously, it's more hosts to manage. It may not be as, efficient method of saying using a one NIDS. So that's one of the disadvantages. Now, I don't actually know of any popular NNIDSs, but I'm sure if you just Google it up, find some good links, some more good information. All right, this brings us into the next segment of the show, host intrusion detections of systems. Now, these are different from NNIDSs. Now, one of the more popular host-based intrusion detection systems is Tripwire. Tripwire is a freely available open-source tool, and the way Tripwire works is Tripwire works by when it is installed, it basically it looks at the whole hard drive and it takes this drive and it creates a an MD5 sum of it, creates a hash of it, and then when someone wants to say run they'll run a file integrity check and through Tripwire, and what it'll do is it'll go through the whole hard drive and it'll create a new hash, and it'll take the two hash values and it'll compare them. Now, if the new hash value doesn't match the old hash value, we have a problem. Now, this is how Tripwire detects whether or not someone has penetrated your system. Now, this is the critical feature of programs such as Tripwire. The major advantage of this over something like, say, a network-based intrusion detection system is that this lets you know when your system's actually been penetrated. This obviously is going to lead to many less false positives. And also, as I mentioned before, the problem that a program like Snort could have with an encrypted session is going to be alleviated here, because now it doesn't matter whether you're using encryption or whatnot, because this doesn't care. This has nothing to do with the network portion of it. All this concerns is the current system. So even if you connect your email and let's say you download, you know, random backdoor .exe, you know, whatever, and this is now on your system and it gets run, Tripwire is going to see this because of the file system checks. Now, the problem with file system checks is that you're relying on the system administrator to run these checks. Now, of course, these checks could be done through something like, say, a cron job or something of that nature, you know, automate it somehow. Also, I mean, if you've got a large hard drive with a lot of files on it, a lot of things on it, and you're using Tripwire, I mean, it's going to take a while to, I mean, it's going to consume a lot of resources, and I mean, it's going to be a real pain in the ass to do these, you know, these system checks, you know, say if you want to do it hourly or something. So that's also a major disadvantage of the host-based intrusion detection systems. However, there is another way host-based intrusion detection systems can work. They can also analyze log files. Now, the major advantage of this, which you probably can guess already, is that you're not going to have to deal with the whole hard drive, because, I mean, comparison to, say, your whole hard drive, these log files are going to be very, very small. So, I mean, it's not going to consume as many resources. I mean, it's going to take much less time. It's going to do things a lot faster. However, if any attacker is a good attacker, they're going to edit your log files, and they're going to make things look okay. So that's, you know, obviously a disadvantage. If you want to obtain Tripwire so you can play with it, Tripwire has a SourceForge page, and that page is http://sourceforge.net/projects/tripwire. That's sourceforge.net/projects/tripwire. Now, I just wanted to let you know, if you Google for Tripwire, be careful, because the first link on Google, if you just type in Tripwire, I don't believe that's actually to Tripwire. I think that's another company that's completely separate. Now, there's also another type of intrusion detection called application-based intrusion detection. Now, this goes along with host-based intrusion detection. It's sort of a subgroup of it. Now, the way that this works is, let's say I've got a user on my system, and that user wants to execute a file. Well, what happens is before this file gets executed, it checks with the application-based intrusion detection system, and it says, okay, I'm going to run this file. Now, it's got a list of files that it approves. It says, okay, let's say you want to run, I don't know, my user shell script or whatever. So it say, you know, you want to run myuser.sh, and it checks, goes, okay, that's approved. But then it takes another step. It has a MD5 sum of that file when it was placed on the system. Now it takes the current file or the current MD5 sum of that file, like makes a hash of it. It checks that against the one it has on record. And if those don't match, then it says no, sends out an alert, and that's how that works. However, big problem with this is that it is quite susceptible to say Trojans, because it does not operate in kernel space. So there's a little bit, you know, there that could be fiddled around with and possibly place some bad code in your system that it's not going to see. Okay, so that's about it for the IDSs. Now, another thing that I find really cool, which goes right along with this, are honeypots. Now, honeypots, basically what they do is they'll emulate either a vulnerable machine on the network or they'll emulate a vulnerable service. Now, there's tons of honeypots out there. I mean, if you just Google up, you know, honeypots, you'll get some great links. Now, if you want to get some really good information on honeypots, this is a website I found that I really like. It's called, hold on, let me see if I can get it up here. Aha, here we go. It's called honeynet.org. It's www.honeynet.org. That's www.honeynet.org. It's a cool website. It's got some white papers and stuff like that on it. You should really check out if you're interested in honeypots. Okay, there's lots of honeypots out there. I mean, I've seen honeypots that will emulate, say, a fake SSH service. So let's say an attacker tries to connect to, on say, port 22 SSH, and they're trying, you know, maybe some default passwords, you know, root, you know, blank password, that type of thing. You know, keep them going for a while, and then it might, say, flag you and say, hey, this guy's been trying a bunch of passwords over here on this fake SSH port. And, you know, I mean, then if you really want SSH running, you could always, you know, put SSH on a different port, like, say, I don't know, 1037 or something. There's also other types of honeypots out there that will emulate physical machines on the network. And basically, they send a machine out on the network, it looks vulnerable. That way, an attacker tries to go play around with it, you know, throw them off. However, a lot of the more skilled attackers, they will recognize these honeypots and these fake services. It's because they're not the real thing. However, if you got, you know, Joe Random Script Kitty running around with waving his dick with, you know, Pack a Monkey, whatever, point and click, that type of thing, there's a good chance it's going to throw him off and it's going to deter him a lot. I've also seen other types of honeypots where they literally make thousands of dummy hosts out on the network. There's other stuff. There's something, I can't remember the name of it, but it generates a bunch of fake SSIDs, so you know you can mask your wireless access point. Another cool thing that goes along with honeypots and intrusion detection systems is padded cell systems. Now, what these do is, let's say you've got some guys attacking your network. Yeah, you notice him poking around a bit. You know, he's trying you know, some, you know, exploits or whatever. What a padded cell system will do, it works in combination with IDSs and honeypots and things like that. And let's say you notice that there's this guy, and you know, it's definitely attack. It's definitely. What this will do is it'll essentially make a padded cell where everything that this guy is doing, instead of having it done on your network, the real network, it's gonna all get transferred over into this padded cell. And you know, you could think of it like an insane asylum with, you know, the padded walls all over the place. No matter what happens, he's not going to do any damage, because, which is, to me, that's just awesome. So you know, while you've got this guy in this bogus environment, the really great thing about this is, which is one of the main goals of all the intrusion detection systems, is that now you can learn a lot about your attacker, because now you can see exactly how he's doing, and you can see what he's doing, how he's doing it. And this way, there's no real, I mean, there's still a threat, but the threat is extremely minimal now that he's working inside of this padded cell. The threat to your actual network is greatly reduced. Actually, I shouldn't say it's greatly reduced. There's a very minimal threat now that he's working inside of this padded cell environment. Now, one more thing. Before you actually start developing an intrusion detection system, like, say, Snort or something, you're going to want to do a lot of reading. You're going to want to do a lot of reading One of the things you should really read about is definitely read up on Nmap. If you're not familiar with Nmap, it's a great security tool out there. It's a port scanner, and it also accomplishes other things as well. Nmap, you're going to want to read about SYN scanning, ACK scans, XMIS scans, things of that nature. A good website you can learn a lot of this from is insecure.org, which is the home of Nmap. You also, I found this kind of book online. I haven't actually got a chance to read through it yet, but it looks pretty good. So if you go to www.networkuptime.com/nmap, there's a book on there, Secrets of Network Cryptography, A Comprehensive Guide to Nmap, which seems pretty cool to me. Really, really, really good information on intrusion detection systems and defeating them and honeypots and things like that can be found at securityfocus.com. Securityfocus.com. They've got some cool stuff up there. Also, if you want to get in, there's also another program out there I haven't got a chance to play with, but it's called FragRoute. FragRoute. And what this is, it's a packet shaper, and basically it shapes your packets, it changes them up in hopes to defeat an IDS so that, you know, it won't recognize that what you're doing, let's say it's an attack, it won't recognize what you're doing as an attack. Also, there's a couple good introductory papers on intrusion detection systems that are available off of tldp.org. I don't have specific links for those, but if you basically go on tldp.org, which is the Linux Documentation Project, if you're not familiar, and just search around their website, you'll find them. They're pretty good. That's what I that's how I actually got started learning about intrusion detection systems, things like Tripwire and Snort and whatnot. Also, yeah, here's an interesting paper I found on FragRoute. If you go to www.sans.org/resources/idfaq/fragroute.php, there's a cool little article there on FragRoute and how it works. That about sums things up for this episode. I want to send a big thank you to Droops and for giving me hosting for the show on his website, which is www.podcastincubator.com. It's www.podcastincubator.com. This show, which is hosted on his website, if you go to www.podcastincubator.com/ragweed, you can download the files for this show, the episodes. Also, Droops has another cool thing he does. He's got a Infonomicon TV and radio thing, which is cool. You should check that out if you go to infonomicon.org. I'll spell that for you. It's infonomicon.org. It's pretty cool. You should check that out. So once again, I want to thank people that gave me feedback through the show, through Instant Messenger and whatnot. Didn't get any email, but you know, hey, it's a new, relatively new show. I'm sure not that many people know about it. So once again, thanks to Droops. Thanks to all the people that sent me feedback about the show. Really appreciate it. Once again, send your emails, questions, comments, whatever, to whatever the hell I call this radio at yahoo.com. No spaces, just whatever the hell I call this radio at yahoo.com. Again, I can't thank Droops enough. Also, shouts to www.port7alliance.com, undergroundsystems.org, and binrev.com. That's about it for today's show. Once again, the closing music is Drama in the PhD. See ya.
C++, my rhymes are so fat. I'm P-space complete, but I'll reduce you to 3-sat. My crew is so hard that we roll an NP, and bitches dereference my pointer for free. When I'm linear probing, they're like, damn, that's gigantic. I showed it to your mom and she used horror semantics. She jumped like JNE up onto my erection, and I picked up that whole like straight garbage collection.
Yeah, Mark and sweep on these nuts, bitch.
Yeah.
lyrics get stolen by sucker MCs. I gotta sign my rhymes with PGP, but I keep on generating like a CFG, cause there's so much drama in the PhD.
What's wrong, MC++? Am I making you nervous? Even skanky fat hoes give you denial of service. You'll probably go to jail before you write your dissertation, so prepare your asshole for some internal fragmentation. Penetration while they fill it up with jism. It's too bad you aren't closed under homomorphism. Your problem, plus plus, is that your typing ain't strict. In ML, my type is real, your type is alpha dick.
I control my flow better than TCP. I rep the West Coast like Eazy-E. You best not front if you can't pass the GRE, cause there's so much drama in the PhD.
My flow is so intense that I will overflow your buffer, corrupt your stack pointer, making all your data suffer. I've got saturated edges, but your flow is sparser. Real gangsta sip on yak, you just generate a parser. While you're busy popping stacks, I'll pop a cap in your skull. While you smoke your crack pipe, I'ma pipe you to dev null. I may not have a label, but I rap like a star. I'm an unsigned long it, and you're an 8-bit char.
Your mom circulates like a public key, servicing more requests than HTTP. She keeps all her ports open like Windows ME. Oh, there's so much drama in the PhD.
D-word to your moms, I came to drop bombs. I've got more rhymes than San Jose's got .coms. I rep the farm like 50 reps Queens, with more power than multi-tape Turing machines. Blowing up the rap scene faster than factorial functions. I'm dope like PNP transistors, and I'll saturate your junctions. By the time you've run online, I've already busted 10. You rap in exponential time, and I'm Big O of log n.
I run G, make and GCC, and I ain't never called Malik without calling free. I'll beat your ass until it's colored like a red-black tree, cause there's so much drama in the PhD.